Welcome to the Bayside Church Weekly Message Audio Podcast, Cheltenham.
We are so blessed to have an amazing group of young people at Bayside Church. We are so blessed. Our youth and young adults are on fire for the things of God. There is such a hunger and a passion to just run after everything that God has for them. We've been having a lot of fun over this weekend. And, you know, the best is yet to come for these kids. And they are, you know, the future's bright. It really is. So we've been looking at a lot of stuff over the weekend. We've been encountering God in such a practical and powerful way. And the whole conference was called Iro, which is a Greek word which means to take up. And it comes from where Jesus is talking about taking up your cross. And to get into the word this morning, I'd like to maybe recap a little bit about what we have been talking about over the weekend through our youth and young adult conference. So it'll be on the screens behind me, but Matthew chapter 16, this has been our text for the weekend. Matthew 16 verses 24 and 25 says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone will come after me, he must deny himself and take up, or iro, his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it.'" Father, this morning we just come to you and we want to thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is alive, it is active, and it's going to do us good this morning. So Father, we choose right now to open up our hearts, and I'm really believing, Lord, that you're going to speak a personal word and a unique word for every single one of us today. We open up our hearts, we ask you to come and have your way in us and through us this morning, in Jesus' name. Iro, a little subtitle for the weekend has been take up, go after, be change. Repeat that after me. Take up.
Take up.
Come on, let's do it with some youthful enthusiasm. Take up.
Take up.
Go after.
Go after.
Be change.
Be change.
Turn to the person next to you and say, take up.
Take up.
Turn to the other person and say, go after.
Go after.
And turn to yourself and say, be change.
Be change.
Take up. Go after, be changed. So to basically recap what we have been looking at over the past few days, we are going to look at someone in the Bible, someone's life, and this is a young man in the Bible. We're going to have a look at a portion of his life. And he's a young man who really took up, went after, and he was changed in his life. And that young man that we are looking at this morning is Daniel. He's an amazing young leader, and he started out at a very similar age to a lot of our youth group. So if you've got your Bibles this morning, how about we turn to Daniel chapter 1? Daniel chapter 1. And we're going to pick up the story right from the start in verse 1. And we meet this guy called King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, who can tell me, is King Neb a good king or a bad king? And this is a little bit of a trick question, but is he good or bad? You see, where we pick up the story, he is a bad king. However, if you read the story to the completion, he actually does fall down on his knees and praise our God. But where we pick it up, he is a very bad king. And what happens in this story is King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian army, they come and attack Jerusalem. They basically decimate the city and destroy the temple. And you see, King Nebuchadnezzar is so evil that he's not content with just destroying the present in Jerusalem, but he actually goes out of his way to try and destroy their future as well. You see, what he does is he kidnaps some of the smartest and brightest young leaders. He indoctrinates them into Babylonian culture. He trains them up and then releases them to be future leaders in Babylon instead of Jerusalem. So we pick up the story in verse 1. Let's read together. It says, "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. In other words, King Nebuchadnezzar wanted these young boys to talk like Babylonians talk and think like the Babylonians thought. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among these were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names: to Daniel, the name Belteshazzar; to Hananiah, Shadrach; to Mishael, Meshach; and Azariah, Abednego. This morning, we're going to be looking at taking up. To take up. As I mentioned just before, the Greek word iro means to take up, to raise up, and to bear what has been raised. Interestingly, it's the same word that Jesus uses when he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." What we notice about this word iro is that it's not a passive word. It's an active word. There's a call to action. To iro something is a call to action. And who knows that when we become a Christian and we give our life to Jesus, that does not mean that you get a free ticket to having an easy, trouble-free life. Jesus didn't. Think about it. When Jesus took up his cross, literally, what was he walking towards? He knew what was on the other side of taking up his cross. He was walking towards his physical death on a cross. That ain't easy. To die for people who hated you, to die for people who mocked you and spat on you. Yet he was willing to do the action of taking up his cross, die on the cross for you and I. And hallelujah, he rose again 3 days later. To take up your cross is a big decision that you have to make for your life. And I believe all of us have to make that choice. Are we going to take up our cross and follow Jesus, or are we not? Now, for Daniel, this decision came at an early age. Most scholars believe that Daniel was probably around the age of maybe 14 to 17, somewhere around there, where King Nebuchadnezzar came and kidnapped him and took him off to Babylonia. Now, it's roughly around, I think, 800 kilometers away. So it's roughly from Melbourne to Sydney. Here's this young boy taken away from his family, taken away from all he knew, taken to this foreign land, and he had a decision to make. Was he going to live for his God in a foreign land, or was he going to succumb to the ways, the lifestyle, and the religion of the Babylonians? He had a decision to make. You see, he was forced to learn a new culture and a new language. Now, who knows that learning new languages can be hard? Has anyone tried to learn a new language? I'm sure some of you will agree with me. I find learning new languages difficult. I remember back in school, in year 7 and 8, I tried to learn Japanese. Any Japanese speakers this morning? Sandra's fluent Japanese, isn't it? Japanese is a hard language to learn. However, even to this day, I have still retained some amazing Japanese words. The first word, I'm going to give you a Japanese lesson quickly this morning. The first word that I have learned is furubako. Anyone know what that means? Yeah. Now, as a little, how old have I been? Probably 13, 14-year-old boy, the word furubako was it meant a lot to me. It means pencil box. Now, as a little 13-year-old tacker, my pencil box was a big deal. I may have had pride issues over my pencil box, but I made this thing, I painted this thing, and I was I loved my pencil box. And I don't know why, but to this day, I still remember the word furubako in Japanese. Another word I remember is onakasuita, which is it still happens to this day. It means I'm hungry. Onakasuita, I'm hungry. Another word I learned recently, another Japanese word is Sambiyesu, which means praise Jesus in Japanese. Come on, try that with me this morning. Sambiyesu. Sambiyesu. Doesn't that feel good? Sambiyesu. Praising God in Japanese, and it's not even tongues. You know, we do have a young Japanese man here at our church. He's been here a couple of years, and he's not here this morning, so I can pick on him. No, I did clear this with him, but his name's Angelo. Many of you will know Angelo, and he agrees that learning a new language is hard. So much so, I remember meeting him on a Sunday morning after church a couple of years ago, and really nice young guy, but he kept looking down at his phone as he was talking to me. I'm like, what's going on here? It turns out that he has an app on his phone that basically translates my Australian slang into English, so that he could actually understand what this conversation was all about. And you see, Angelo tells me this story, which I find is quite funny. He said he'd only been in Australia a couple of weeks, and he was sitting at the train station just down in Cheltenham, just sitting there waiting for the train to come, just minding his own business. And a nice guy comes up and tries to make some small talk with Angelo as they're just sitting there waiting for the train to come. And the guy turns to Angelo and says, "Hey, how you going?" To which Angelo looks kind of awkwardly at this guy and says, "By train?" And there's the second wave. Some of you will understand that on the way home, but you have to agree that learning languages can be hard. But you see, Daniel made this decision early on in his life that he was going to take up his cross and live for his God. And I want to challenge all of us this morning. If we were to be honest with ourselves, have we taken up our cross? Are we following Jesus with our whole life? Take up your cross. The second point that we've been looking up is to go after. Go after what? Go after what you believe in. Let's have a look at verse 8 in Daniel chapter 1. Verse 8 says, "But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way." Now, what's the deal here? What's the deal with the king's food? I'm sure the king's food would have been absolutely delicious. The problem we have is that the king's food would have been blessed and dedicated to these false Babylonian pagan gods. And you see, that caused a problem for Daniel and his friends because they wanted to honor and worship God with every part of their lives. Their God, Yahweh, they wanted to worship Yahweh in every way possible. Daniel wanted to go after what he believed in. Now, notice two things with this passage or this verse right here, verse 8. Notice that Daniel went about it the right way. He didn't make a scene. He asked permission of the chief official to not eat the food. And then if you read on, you can see that they came to an agreement. We can go after what we believe in, but I believe we have to do it in the right way. We don't need vigilantes just running around causing chaos, destruction wherever we go. Sure, we got to stand up for what we believe in, but we've got to do it in the right way. Camille preached an amazing message yesterday afternoon on honoring, standing up by honoring. And we've got to do it in an honoring way. God wants us to go after our convictions and our beliefs, but we've got to do it the right way. Daniel did it the right way. He asked permission of the chief official. He didn't want to cause a scene, yet he stood up for what he believed in. We can learn a lesson from Daniel with that. The second thing I want you to note in this verse, I think this is very important. At the start of the verse, it says, Daniel resolved to not defile himself. Resolved means to be firm in purpose or intent. Some other translations say that Daniel was determined not to defile himself. And I personally believe that this was a predetermined decision that Daniel had made for his life. You know, predetermining things in our life is so important for our spiritual walk, because I believe otherwise we can become more susceptible to compromise. A lot of spiritual success comes down to what you decide ahead of time. I really believe that. I'm going to say it again. A lot of our spiritual success comes down to what we decide, our convictions that we act upon ahead of time. So for example, I'll give you a couple of examples. If we predetermine or we pre-decide that when we gather here as a body of believers on a Sunday morning, if we pre-decide that we want our hearts to be open, that we are open to the things of God and we want to have a real encounter with Him, well then when it comes to making a decision, well, should I come to the 9 o'clock pre-service prayer meeting? Well, then suddenly those decisions become a lot easier. Why? Because we've pre-decided. It's a predetermined decision. Making predetermined decisions over our lives can be extremely liberating. I've made many predetermined decisions for my life, and I will continue to do so, because there's freedom when we predetermine something for our lives. I told the story last night to our youth and young adults that in year 12, when I was in year 12, only a couple of years ago now, but when I was in year 12, I made a predetermined decision to not drink alcohol for the entire year of year 12 and going to all these 18th parties. And those of you who have maybe 18-year-old kids, you'll know that it's just 18th after 18th. Every single weekend, you've got an 18th party. And I had this amazingly strong conviction from God to not drink alcohol. It was a predetermined decision that I made walking into these parties. And it was great for me because my birthday is in April and I got my license on my birthday and I was basically the designated driver for the whole year, and I loved it because I loved driving around in the car. But you see, the amount of favor and opportunities that God gave me in that year 12 year to speak into my friend's life was absolutely ridiculous. It was unreal. Now, did I invite all my friends to church? No. But did I bring the love of God? Did I bring the kingdom of God into my friends' lives? Yes, sometimes at their most vulnerable states. The amount of like relationship breakups I helped people through, the amount of just difficult situations these year 12s were going through, I was just there. Am I amazing? No. But I was just going after what I had predetermined I wanted to do for my life. And God bless that. God blesses it when we make predetermined decisions for Him. Interestingly, actually, after the service last night, I had a young person come up to me who is studying psychology, and he said, you know what? Psychologists, about, I think probably 20 or 30 years ago, have come up with this psychology theory to describe exactly what Daniel was doing with his life thousands of years ago. There's a psychology theory that's called the theory of planned behavior, and it's researched and there's a lot of documentation out there, and it's basically the theory about the link between behaviors and beliefs. And research studies, there's been thousands of studies on this, you can look at it on the net. Research studies prove that Daniel's actions to resolve actually work, to make a predetermined decision actually works. These studies are looking into breaking addictions. Now, it might be alcohol addiction, nicotine addiction, all sorts of addictions. And basically, the conclusion of these studies say that making predetermined decisions over your life can break addictions like that. Isn't it interesting that we've got the Bible here, and it was only maybe 20 or 30 years ago, psychologists are cottoning on to the fact that what Daniel was doing with his life, going after his decisions, making predetermined decisions, is actually now scientific research locked in. There you go. Isn't that amazing? I thought that was really interesting, what this young man was telling me last night. I've made all sorts of predetermined decisions for my life. When I was a young man, I predetermined to save money for my wedding and my house, my first house. And this was before I'd even met Camille. You see, what I did, I predetermined that I was going to put aside some money every single week, just put it aside, rather than, because then I wasn't susceptible to compromise and spending it just on junk, on rubbish that I didn't really need. I predetermined in my heart that I was going to do that. When Camille and I actually went to buy our first home, we predetermined the figure that we were going to offer on the property. So when the real estate agent started to try and twist our arm and get a little bit more money out of us, it was so easy to say, no, this is our predetermined figure. We're not going above that. So you can do it in all facets of our lives. Predetermining things is liberating. I want to encourage you to predetermine some decisions over your life. Daniel lived a life that went after what he believed in. And we have got an amazing opportunity next weekend, our next Saturday night here at Bayside. We are having baptisms as a part of our service. Now, what better way to go after what you believe in? Basically turning an internal conviction into an outward expression of your faith. You can do it next Saturday night in front of friends and family. Say, you know what? I'm going to go after what I believe in. I'm going to follow Jesus and get water baptized next Saturday night. If you have never been baptized, can I please encourage you? Sign up at the iConnect desk at the end of this service. Be baptized in the name of Jesus, next Saturday night service. And just to finish today, and I'd like the band to come if you guys will. The third thing we looked at was to be change. To be change. You know, if you read Daniel's story, and we don't have time to do that this morning, but if you read his story, Daniel was a change agent. Everywhere he went, change, change. He was a change agent. But you know, to be change, we have to be prepared to go against the crowd. You guys know that the crowd can be fickle. If a million people in the crowd say a foolish thing, it's still a foolish thing. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. It says, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy." In Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 26 from the New Living Translation, it says, "You must be holy because I, the Lord, am holy. I have set you apart from all other people to be my very own." You know, being holy is to be called, to be set apart. We just read that God calls us to be holy just as He is holy. What does that mean? We are called to be set apart. If we want to be change agents in our workplace, in our family, in any walk of life, we have to be prepared to be set apart, to stand out from the crowd by standing up and going after what we believe in. We take up our cross, we go after our beliefs, and to be changed, we have to stand apart, to be outstanding. I love what Margaret Thatcher says. She says, "You cannot lead from the crowd." And I'd just like to close with a quote from the famous Christian author, Max Lucado. He says, "A man who wants to lead the orchestra must first turn his back on the crowd." Take up, go after, be change. IRO is an action word, and I'd like us all to do an action right now, and that is to stand up where you are. We're going to close the service in a moment with a song of worship. But as I was preaching this morning, I just have a really strong sense there might be a few people here who want to respond in a certain way this morning, and I want to pray for some people this morning for breakthrough. If you need breakthrough in any of these areas that we were talking about, God is going to meet you where you're at. He's going to come into your life. I believe there might be a couple of people here this morning who, if you were to be honest, you haven't actually taken up your cross. You haven't actually made that decision for Jesus to come into your life and be your Lord and your Savior. I want to pray for you if that's you this morning. Maybe You need someone to stand with you today just to give you some encouragement to just go after what you want to go after, what your beliefs are, what are your dreams. God wants you to live out those dreams. But in order to do that, you got to be prepared to stand out of the crowd. Stand up for what you believe in and stand out. Let's just close our eyes right now in this moment. I believe the Holy Spirit is working in some people's lives. Lord, we just want to say thank you today that Jesus, you took up your cross for every one of us. Knowing what you were walking towards, you still did it, Lord. You died on the cross. You nailed all of our sins that we have ever committed. You nailed them to the cross. And Lord, you rose. You rose 3 days later so we may rise with you and live with you, Lord God. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, we want to thank you for the ultimate sacrifice that you made, that you gave with your life. Jesus. So I want to invite you, we're going to sing a song of worship right now. If you need to just come and stand at the altar before God, you just need God right now. I want to pray for you. You need breakthrough in your life for any area. I want to pray for you. Take up, go after, be changed.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this weekly message audio podcast. If you'd like to listen to more messages and find out more information, check out our website at www.baysidechurch.com.au. Church has changed. Check it out.